And with that, our next speaker is Carmelita Nelson from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Carmelita is the DNR's Water Conservation Coordinator with the Division of Ecological and Water Resources. Her work focuses on all aspects of developing the state water conservation program. She's been with the DNR for 30 years, and she has a Master's of Science degree from the University of Michigan. Carmelita.
Oh, good. I'm glad you kind of quieted down because I can't sing nearly as well as Sharon can. So I'd like to thank you for inviting me to come to this conference. Today we'll be changing tones. We've had just a really nice sequence of programs, you know, with Sharon's kind of more philosophical. We are water. We need to love the water, teach our children to love the water, and going more into the science of the climate change and the sort of bigger picture thinking with the regional thing. So today I'm going to dive deeper into the water conservation program. And before I forget, I want to let people know I do have the full report here. I have about 50 or 60 copies over there. I didn't know if everybody would want one, but help yourself to a copy of the report. It is still a draft. There's great enthusiasm all the way up to the governor's office for this. This has been seen as a success for water, although there was one failure that I'll be pointing out. So we do have this water conservation program that we started in Minnesota, and it's been kind of gradually building over the years, but we're really taking a lot more seriously now for a variety of reasons. So I'll go ahead and get started. Leo sends his apologies. He was going to be co-presenting with me. Leo is with the ESP Water software consultant that has developed this program. He's great to work with, and he wasn't available to come this morning. So. The Water Conservation Reporting System is a bit like the Minnesota Permitting and Reporting System, the MPARS, but its focus is solely on conservation. So we're not measuring so much how much we're using, it's how much we're saving. So this program is sort of following what we did with the energy sector. 10 years ago, the Department of Commerce started their CIP, the Conservation Improvement Program, where the energy sector must conserve water, or conserve energy. And so Leo started that program, so we were able to get him to come over here to do water. So it's very similar to what they're doing in the energy sector, but we're now doing with water. And measuring what you're not using is a lot trickier than just measuring how much you are using. Your rain gauges don't talk to you in this either. So it's a specialized software, and we initially are starting with the 348 water suppliers that serve over 1,000 people. These are the same groups of cities that had to do their water supply plans every 10 years. And in case you're going to fall asleep, I wanted to let you know that the analysis shows that Minnesota met all of our statewide conservation goals. Now you can fall asleep. No, just kidding. So why do we need this information? Why do we, like we learned from Kenny, we've got a lot of water here in Minnesota. Why are we concerned? First of all, there is an actual law. The Minnesota Water Conservation Program is under 103G.10. The program is to guide the permit issuances. The DNR does do the issuances of permits for all people over 10,000 gallons or a million gallons a year, a day, a year. Okay. And then we also have it in our strategic plan that we have to monitor water status and trends data, and water supply plans require conservation. So Len, you talked on this a good bit this morning about why we need to be concerned about water and conserving water in Minnesota. We do have the trend of growing population and economy. There's uneven, nobody's really talked about this, but I think being hydrogeologists and geologists and hydrologists, you all pretty much know this. It's uneven distribution of groundwater in Minnesota. So here in the Twin Cities area, we have a lot of groundwater. If you go out far western Minnesota, that's not the case. Up in the northeast, also, it's all basalt up there in bedrock. So, and then in many areas of the state, not many, but some areas of the state, groundwater is being withdrawn faster than recharge can occur, meaning we're using it faster than the rainwater can infiltrate. And then energy savings is another reason to be doing conservation. When you save water, you are also saving energy. And when you save energy, you're also saving water. This is a whole nother talk to get into the water-energy nexus, but the two are intertwined completely. The energy sector is our largest water user in Minnesota. We don't always say they use the water because it's often passed through, but they do take a lot of water to produce energy and vice versa. And then we're also seeing degraded water quality in many areas of the state for a variety of reasons. And one reason to conserve water that a lot of people aren't aware of is the Great Lakes Compact. It requires all states that attach to the Great Lakes, they must have a conservation program. So that's another reason. And the other real big reason is if we don't measure it, how can we know if we're getting better at it and improving it? So there's three primary goals for the water conservation reporting system. One is to determine the impact of water conservation. Is it making a difference? Is it making things better and improving our water supply systems and the aquifers? And also to encourage for the water suppliers their best practices, and also to analyze trends over the first year. I won't be presenting trends today because this is the first year. Next year, if you want me, or the year after that. So what do the results show? We invited 348 cities and large utilities to participate. 327 created an account. So that was 94% participation. We were very pleased with that. And then this is where our failure was. Only about 70% of the cities entered what we considered reasonable data. And we knew this was a problem before we started because we could see this in MPARS. We knew that there were cities that were saying, oh, we have 100% water loss, or we have negative percent water loss. We're somehow creating water out of thin air. So we knew this was a problem going into this situation, and we thought by having them go step by step by step in their water accounting thing, that they would fix that and get it better. And we did actually work with a lot of the larger cities to actually, we called them up and said, let's walk through this. There's something goofy with your numbers. And so we were able to fix a number of them, but we still have 30% of the cities that are saying weird numbers that just can't possibly be true with their water loss in particular. But the good news is of that 70%, that accounts for 80% of the water that's used. And again, the 27th data indicated good performance overall for the utilities. So this was our first objective, is to reduce unaccounted for water loss to less than 10%. And Monica from Bolivia will be talking later. This is an enormous problem in Bolivia. They actually count their leaks as part of their groundwater recharge. They have so many leaks. It's like, oh dear. So 10% probably wouldn't be reasonable for your folks. Maybe you could shoot for 25 or something. But in Minnesota, we're shooting for 10% water loss. So that from the time you take it out of the groundwater until you deliver it to the homeowners, you're only losing 10%. So the good news is, as an aggregate, Minnesota only lost 8.8. So there were some that did lose more than 10% and some that lost less. So, but overall, really good. We were quite impressed with that. Because this is the one that when I went around to talk to the cities about their water supply plans, this is the one that they said, ooh, that's going to be tough. We can do 12 or 15%, but 10 is going to be tough. But they're doing it, so that's great to hear. So the next objective was to achieve less than 75 residential gallons per capita. So 75 gallons per person, basically, per day. And again, I think Bolivia, you said they were about 50, didn't you? 50 or 60. So that's actually pretty good. And again, in Minnesota, because we have this sort of beautiful green lawns and these big suburbs with big lawns, we do a lot of irrigation. So in some cities, as you can see at the top, and I'm not even going to attempt to do the arrows, but as you see at the top, there are a number of cities, maybe 8 to 10, that are over this amount of 75. And these are cities that probably have a lot of irrigation for the most part. This is just residential. This does not include anything commercial. But overall, 90% of the cities did meet this goal, and the statewide average is 52. We had some cities, as you see down there, that, I don't know, that 15 to 20, that looks a little goofy. But we did have, I know, like, Baxter has fairly high water use, but Brainerd, because it's an older city, has like 34 gallons per capita per day. So, you know, these outstate cities can be very reasonable. The third objective is to achieve at least 1.5% reduction in non-residential gallons per capita. And so this is looking at your commercial, your industrial, your institutional water users. We did not measure this first year. When we did the pilot test with the cities, they said, ooh, that's going to be hard to do this first year. We're not ready to do that yet. So we're going to be starting at this coming year. But as you can see, non-residential water use is quite high in Minnesota as a state. About 34% of the city's water goes to non-residential water use. So there's room for a lot of improvement in this area, even though it's kind of outside the comfort zone of most municipal water supply folks. So we're going to be working with them and MnTap and stuff and try and do some training with them on that. The next objective is to achieve a decreasing trend in total per capita demand. And so this is, again, a trend one, so we didn't measure it this first year. But when we were doing the water supply plan, where'd Lanya go? Lanya and I talked about possibly doing, you know, do we want to set that at a number, like 90 gallons per capita per day? But we decided that would be too discriminatory against the cities that have a lot of industry that may use a lot of water. So we just said, okay, we don't care what that starting number is, just that over time that it's decreasing or at the very least staying the same. And that includes all your water use, whatever it may be. And then the next one targets specifically summertime water use to reduce the maximum ratio day to the average day to 2.6. And this is, again, summer to winter use, looking at your January use to your July water use. And again, the state did achieve, as a whole, the goal of 2.37% is what we met as a overall state aggregate. And 75% of the cities met that. So that's a really good one, although it's also saying 25% of the cities need to work on the irrigation. That should probably be one of their target areas if water loss. Water loss should probably be their first target area, but then irrigation probably be the next. So then one of the other things in the water supply plans that all cities must do, and this is a new law from 2015, is to implement demand reduction measures. And the law actually lays out what are demand reduction measures. So we broke that into a couple different groups. One are things that, what can the city itself do, infrastructure projects, to reduce the demand on the water system. And so that included things like leak detection, leak repair, meter and hydrant repair and replacement. In doing this survey of all the cities, that was one of the things that we learned, is that hydrant repair, dollar for dollar, is an amazing investment. Because a lot of cities don't realize how many hydrants they have that are leaking, and it's a fairly easy fix. So that was one thing that we're going to be really encouraging cities to work on their fire hydrants, in addition to other massive, big, nasty leaks. This probably looks minor to you, does it? About 61% reported this. I actually think that number is higher. Well, I know that number is higher because there were a number of cities who it was hard for them to quantify the gallons, so they just said, yes, we do it, but they didn't say how many gallons they saved. The next category that we did is things that the utilities can do with their customers to get their customers to save water. And this is primarily involving technology for the most part, replacing your toilets, replacing your showers, replacing your, not your whole showers, but the shower head, clothes washers and other things. These are rain barrel programs that you may have to get them to use the rainwater instead of the hose. And I was surprised and pleased that this was fairly high, about 55% of utilities reporting doing some kind of project. And I think a good bit of this may be because of the Met Council's grant that they had. They actually helped fund some of these city projects, rebate projects. Now, the thing that was curious when I saw this chart for the first time, I'm like, what the heck? Why are there so many clothes washer rebates? Because, in fact, dollar for dollar, clothes washer rebates really aren't that economical in terms of the gallons saved. However, is anybody here from the city of Rochester? All right, yay. Rochester has had probably the longest running, most successful rebate program in the state, I would guess. Do you think you agree with that? And so they've done a lot of the low-hanging fruit of toilets and things like that. So now they're moving into washing machines. And so this is, I think, mostly Rochester, these washing machines. There's a few other cities, but you guys are amazing. So that big blue chunk is Rochester. If anybody's interested in setting up a rebate program in their city, talk to Rochester. It really is remarkable what they have accomplished over the decades. I think you've been doing this, haven't you? Objective 7 is to reduce water use and support wellhead protection. And this category, we're looking at things that you can't actually measure the number of gallons saved, but it's kind of talking about what Sharon Day was talking about, getting people to change their behavior, change their attitude, love the water more, respect it, use it more wisely. And so this includes things like education outreach, collaborative efforts, and ordinances. As you can see there, about 74% of the cities reported having some sort of ordinance. And this group, we actually looked at the entire group that did it, not just the 70%, but the entire group of cities. And then 77% do education outreach, and 58% do collaborative efforts. The collaborative effort, anybody here from the White Bear Lake area? There surely must be. Is there nobody from White Bear Lake? This is specifically for the White Bear Lake. The judge said you must measure what the cities are doing for collaborative efforts. So we thought, well, as long as White Bear Lake has to do it, we'll make everybody do it. So, and the largest group that they collaborate, or the largest group of people collaborate with the Department of Health. So all you Department of Health people, you can give yourself a pat in the back. The second largest group of collaboration was with watersheds. And then I think the third was lake associations. And DNR was down like fourth or fifth. So. And objective 8 in the water supply plan was to monitor and track your water conservation success. And we originally went around to for 3 years, we went around and talked to all the cities and said, okay, this is what you need to do and this is what you're going to have to do. And we said, we're not going to wait 10 years to come back and see, are you achieving success at water conservation? We're going to come back. And we originally thought, well, we'd come back and meet with them every few years or have the hydrologists go out and meet with them. And then we came across this idea of doing a tracking system, and we said, this makes sense. And so this objective is already achieved because we are now tracking the water conservation. And so that's where we're going with that. So what are our next steps? This was just year one of a 4-year rollout. We are encouraging the water suppliers to review their data and submit corrections. And we're encouraging peer learning. So 30% of the cities that didn't do their water accounting right, we're encouraging them to look at some of their neighbors and see if they did theirs right. They can all see the website. They can see each other's. This website is not open to the general public. You can, if you're doing research or if you're doing some kind of data analysis like Met Council does a lot, we can give you access to view only. But the cities can all see each other's reports and see, well, how did they do this or how did they do that? And so we're encouraging them to work together. And then we're going to be making some improvements to the water conservation system. Like, for example, they wanted a better way to print it out and things like that. So we're going to be making those corrections. And then this year, we've been starting it already, is we're working with the commercial, industrial, and institutional permittees. These are the bigger companies that don't use city water, or they're out in the rural areas like the ethanol plants, and we're going to be working with them to get their water conservation reporting in. We're not going to do theirs as much with quantifiable data in terms of gallons because of trade secrets. They don't necessarily want other people to know. And so we're going to be doing more like what actions are you taking and what best practices are you using. So it's going to be a little bit different reporting system. Then in 2019, we're going to go back and pick up all the smaller cities. And then in 2020, we're going to do the agricultural sector, the irrigation, the feedlots, and things like that. And then I'm going to retire. So, so kidding. I might be around longer than that. Let's see. And then the other thing is we're going to be working with partner agencies to provide some water loss control measures. We're working with Met Council on that. There's some exciting news going on with that, and do some training to try and get those other 30% to be succeeding in their water reporting, and also to work with the MNTAP program, the University of Minnesota Technical Assistance Program, to improve their water efficiencies and helping them to figure out how to work with the commercial, industrial, and institutional sector. And that's all I have. Any questions?